minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Good Monday morning, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Oh, boy. A lot to unpack today. The Nuggets lose Game 4 to the Suns, 129-124. That's kind of the story. We're bringing Tanner Schwint in studio here today in the Aloe Fiber Studios. Susan and Cheryl.
No, I don't
think. There's not a lot of clapping there.
With how Good Morning NoCo went this morning, I don't think I'm going to be getting any applause for a long time.
I just want to ask you, like, how can you not say that Nikola Jokic is a dog? I just don't. I'm trying to grasp that, and I don't understand
it. He doesn't make winning plays in winning situations.
He didn't do that in game two. He didn't do that.
He doesn't do it consistently enough. So when the chips are down, and you've had to carry this team to where you're at, which he did that. And
So clearly he's making winning plays.
But they didn't win the game. Like, even if he doesn't, like Angel even asked me earlier, he's like, okay, well, if he doesn't do that, then they're not even close in that game.
It's true.
Correct. You still got an L. Denver still, as Michael Mullen likes to say, had to take that L on the way out. They still had to set that up. You're down three, 22 seconds left, and I strongly believe that Nikola Jokic is the best player in basketball. I want to start by saying that.
But you don't think he's a dog, yet he's the best player in basketball. That doesn't make sense to me.
I don't think he is a dog. I don't think he has that killer winning instinct. 22.4 seconds left. Instead of getting to your spot and making a shot that you can make, you go into the weird little elbow side of things and then turn a ball. You know,
it was probably Malone's play call, what that was.
Then I've got more of an issue with that. Okay. You already know how I feel about Michael Malone.
I have an issue with Malone, but I don't see it with Nikola Jokic. Joker ended up with 53 points, 11 assists last night. And it was, again, every time we play the Suns, it seems like there's a lot of controversy. And there was controversy.
I think they're in his head.
With Matt, what is it, Ashiba?
Matt Ashiba.
Matt Ashiba, the owner of the Suns. There was that confrontation last night. And we'll get into that momentarily. But, I mean, what's more dog? Going up and ripping a ball out of an owner of a team's
hand. He didn't even know
hand.
Who he was.
Doesn't matter. Joker doesn't need to know. He's a dog. You don't care. I don't care who you are.
Dogs make winning plays in winning situations, and he did not win that game last night. And yeah, is that a lot of pressure on one dude?
53 points,
Is that a
Tanner.
Lot of pressure on one dude? 100% it is. But when the lights were the brightest, he didn't show up. Instead, he got into a jump ball. Now, I will give you, on the jump ball, they should have called a foul.
What more do you... I mean, again...
To win the game. That's all. Whatever it takes.
But if the play call says, we're going to set it up here in the corner, they were going to try to go for their pick and roll thing from the corner, probably. That's Joker carrying out the coach's orders.
You wave off the coach at that point. You're that good. The two-man game had been working from the top of the key. Go from there. Don't try and go into one of those corners. It was just a mess. I mean, and my original prediction in this series was Suns in six, and unfortunately, I feel very confident about that. I don't think the Nuggets are mentally strong enough to do this, and this is why you guys scoffed at me when I said that in the Minnesota series, when I said I hope this team's mentally strong enough to do this for an entire series, what they did in the Minnesota series.
But they did.
Against a higher caliber team. Because it was an 8-7 that you had.
But the series is tied right now.
This series is in danger. The Nuggets are in real danger right now.
The Suns were favorites in both of these games.
Right.
So they did what they were supposed to do.
I get that. But if you want to go and be this team that they're getting praised as from at least people here in the state of Colorado, you got to win games you're not supposed to win. And they can't do that. And the Nuggets... really, in their franchise, have never been able to do that. Win games you're not supposed to win so that you can take that lead and you can move forward. This team seems like it's the same thing every single year. We get really high on them heading into the playoffs, hit that second round, and we run into a buzzsaw.
You've said this a lot, where it's every single year. Again, this is the reset. The last year was different. The year before that was different. This is that first year where I believe the real pressure is on the Denver Nuggets, not every single year.
So do you think there's a pass for this?
Not this season. There's not a pass. Something has to be done if they lose this to the Suns.
I'm just saying, Nikola Jokic, as great as he is, when it comes down to it, to make winning plays, more often than not, he doesn't make the winning plays.
More often than not? I just don't.
What is a winning play? Is it breaking an ankle? Is it hitting a three-point contested shot?
No.
Is it a buzzer beater, a shot? Like, it seems like you're so specific about what he needs to do when he's doing everything else you're asking
him. He needs to not turn the ball over or get it to a jump ball situation. You can't do that.
So rather than jump ball, you let Aiden get the ball?
Play, It's just like you're writing this guy off.
That was the chance. No, I'm not writing him off. Is he a dog? No, he can't win in the toughest of times.
But yet you're saying all these other guys are dogs. You're saying Devin Booker's a dog and Kevin Durant's a dog.
Look what they did.
What have they done? What has Devin Booker done in his career?
When the Nuggets were closing this thing in, when they were closing the gap there, and Devin Booker draws the double team, which why in the hell is Aaron Gordon leaving Kevin Durant wide open behind the three-point line? You kick it out. Was there any doubt in any of our minds that Kevin Durant was going to make that shot? We all knew that shot was going in because he makes winning plays. When the lights are the brightest, when everything's on the line.
Did he make winning plays in Brooklyn?
He never
lets
it
make winning plays in Brooklyn?
Stay the hell away from
Kyrie. Did he make winning plays in OKC?
Did he make winning plays in game two of this series?
No.
I'm not talking about leading up to the crunch time minutes, the 2 minutes. I'm not talking about that. When Nikola Jokic had every opportunity to make this thing at least a one-point game where you can then play the foul game, foul back and forth, he messed up. He messed up.
Yeah, but
he lost the ball.
His style is not
fouled.
ISO hero ball. That's
it's not what I'm calling for.
He got fouled on the jump ball, so you could argue that because of his play in that jump ball, he would have gone to the free throw line.
By the letter of the law, he didn't get called. The foul didn't get called.
That's one of the worst calls I've ever seen, or no calls I've ever seen.
The foul didn't get called. So that's what I'm saying. Don't leave it up to somebody else. There's no excuses. Nikola Jokic has to go down and make a bucket.
A guy rips your arm down in front of the official.
Should have never been in that spot.
I don't like to blame refs, but this is a case where the official is standing right there because he has to throw the basketball up in the air, and a hand comes down on a shoulder, clearly inhibiting his ability to win a jump ball. That
would
have been a game.
That
would have been a winning play right there.
But
Joker gets fouled, goes to the free throw.
He has no knowledge that if I don't put the effort in on this play, it's going to go to a jump ball. You have no knowledge that's what's going to happen.
Putting the effort in when you're down three in a
but you're changing the scenario based on one decision.
Because it all stems from that. When you lose that ball, whether it's a turnover or the jump ball, you just cost your team in a big way.
But
your likelihood of winning that game, it goes
way
down.
None of these other dogs that you're talking about, they've never had plays where they cost their team the game late.
The Joker does.
You've never seen Steph Curry. The Warriors got blown out by the Lakers yesterday, or 2 days ago. Absolutely blown out.
Right.
Does that now negate the dog mentality that some of these players
have? But it's the same. It feels, and I could be, I think I probably am, completely alone with this, but it feels like year in and year out, when the lights are the brightest, you need a play, you need a bucket, Nikola Jokic can't deliver.
But do you say year in and year out, you're forgetting that this has been a build-up to this year. Joker is now at that point.
I'm just talking about Joker.
Correct.
You're making it a one-person win or loss thing when that's not how this game is played. That's not how Jokic plays.
When you're then you're never going to go very far.
Because he's not the greatest single player by himself. He's great because of the things he does around him with his teammates.
If your greatest player can't get you a bucket when you need it the most, you're not going anywhere in this league.
So does he just need to take the ball, go into the paint every single time, don't even think about passing in the last 2 minutes?
He ain't going to last very long in this league if he does that.
2 minutes left? In that game,
Jokic
100%.
Cannot play ISO ball for 2 minutes.
He can't.
And beat a team. No one can do that.
Jokic needs to.
He can't.
With 23 seconds left, he can't go down.
He has to
and
make 10 points
up
in 23 seconds?
No.
The play call was whatever it was. We can argue. I want to argue that. I'll argue that with you. Michael Malone, bad decision to say, hey, we're going to start this play from the corner and we're going to go with our two-man game. That was the hope. Pick and roll. Somebody's going to get open for a three-pointer and we're going to tie this thing. That was the play. Jokers, you're saying, no, wave that off. That's not Nikola Jokic.
It's got to be.
Who he is.
That's what I'm saying. Like the dogs, the greatest dogs that we've seen in the NBA.
Going to call a playoff.
When Kobe or MJ, right? And I know it's sounding like I'm putting Nikola Jokic there. When you talk about the greatest, it was like, go get us a bucket. Like, that's where Nikola Jokic needs to be. Go get us a bucket. If he scores two right there, then you play the foul game. And worst case scenario, you've got a shot for Jamal to heave up a three. Like, that play with the greatest player, the greatest big man in the league, cannot happen. If you want to be a certified dog, you want to be one of those guys in the league that people fear, night in and night out.
53 points.
You got to make that play when it matters the most.
53 points.
You can't
points.
Tell me there's players in the NBA that don't fear Nikola Jokic. Ask any NBA player. They will tell you how great and how incredible it is to see him play and how much.
Do you think they fear him?
Yes, yeah, I do. He's a two-time MVP. Yes.
They game plan around him.
They cannot make the winning play.
because they're not asking him to, because that's not how he plays. He is so unique in his style of play that we give him these titles and these great, you know, accolades and traits, but we realize he is great and unique because he's not LeBron James. He's not Devin Booker. He's not Kevin Durant.
Then you're not going to win a title. If you can't
win, Devin Booker won a title?
That shot, he's been further than Jokic has.
But has he won it? If that's the end-all, be-all, is winning titles,
if you can't make a bucket in the biggest moments, you're not
going to win. But now it sounds like you're asking him to force it.
Yeah. It's not forcing it. If you're that good,
you have to score. No one else, no passes, no teammates' shots. It's all Jokic, and he misses.
Then great, you took the shot. You got yourself in a situation.
So if he would have missed the shot, you'd say he's a dog?
He's still taking control of the game and putting the shot up.
But if he would have missed the shot, if you take the last shot.
Still showing it more than what happened.
A contested three-point over a wide-open Jamal Murray for the win.
That was
you'd rather Jokic take the contested three.
Those are both hypotheticals.
Okay, you're down three,
every situation you're bringing up is hypothetical.
You're down three, and you want him to drive in the lane and take a two-point shot.
I would rather
him do that. And then you're going to send Kevin Durant and Devin Booker to the free throw
line. And be down one and play that game. I would rather
they were setting up for a three-pointer to tie the game.
Then I've got an issue with that.
Okay, but that's not on Nikola Jokic.
Nikola Jokic has scored 53 points in this game. He was getting done on 20 of 30 shooting, mind you. Great stat line. He wasn't missing anything. He can go do it. So go do it.
But now you're putting Kevin Durant and Devin Booker back on the free throw line with, like, what, 7 seconds left?
There was 22.4, I believe, left when that happened.
So they're trying to set up for an open three.
I don't think you can, because you're going to have, Jamal had a nice night, but you're going to trust Jamal with the hand?
I would rather, okay, with 22 seconds left, the free throw game is not going to get you there, because Durant and Booker, one of those guys is going to get the ball, they're going to get fouled, they're going to go to the free throw line, make both of them. So I'm taking my chances with the three to try to tie this thing up.
I'm saying if your best player can't make those shots...
What shot?
Any shot. The three-point shot?
He made a lot of them.
In the shot? I know that.
They're not
in the paint?
Nikola Jokic,
if you're looking for somebody else,
you're not drawing up a tie game scenario for Nikola Jokic to hit a game-winning three. He's not that good of a three-point shooter. He's a fine three-point shooter, but that's not the play you're drawing up.
I think he's got the sixth best three-point percentage in the playoffs.
I'm still
right
not.
Now.
Who would you rather have shoot
a three? The opposing team would know exactly what that play would be. That if the ball is going to Jokic at any point in the clutch. The teams know that.
The best players in the league, that's true for every single one of them, and they deliver.
Who? Who has delivered? Who has delivered? Joel Embiid has delivered. James Harden has delivered.
James
They've all
Harden
lost.
Has delivered.
They've all lost. But he's a dog?
No, I'm not saying that. Don't say
Joel
that.
Joel Embiid's a dog?
No. Neither. I don't think either of those
who
guys
is a dog?
Are. I don't think either of those guys are.
But Devin Booker is a dog.
LeBron James. Kevin Durant.
And Devin
Dogs.
Booker. But James Harden and Joel Embiid are not
dogs. I don't
dogs.
Know if I would call Devin Booker a dog. I don't know. But he's showing it more.
You've not been saying that all day.
You've been saying that.
No,
you
I didn't.
You said Booker's a dog.
No, I have not.
You did say Booker's a dog.
I have not said that. He's right there.
What is that?
It's Kevin Durant and Devin Booker's post-game interview.
You just said he's a dog. Then you just said Devin Booker. You're talking out both sides of your mouth here.
That one was just because
Dixon says, Tanner, every team has lost a game in these playoffs, so that means there are no dogs in the entire league. Who is a dog? Nobody knows your definition of a dog.
Guys who consistently do it, man. Like, when you know, even if one rattles out, I still think LeBron James is an absolute dog. Because at the end of games, he's going to find a way to put his
if
team in the
tell
best
me,
situation.
If you're telling
Nikola
me,
Jokic didn't do
if
that.
You're telling
and
me
LeBron is smart enough to know the best situation is to pass the ball to my teammate rather than force a contested three-pointer.
We're going to try to win the game. We're going to try to tie the game here. We don't want to send this thing to the free throw line. But if you're telling me that your parameter for dog is championship, then I'll go with you on that. But you're not. That's the thing.
No,
you're not doing
difference.
That.
There is a difference from being a
That's why you're wrong
player.
On Nikola Jokic not being a dog.
He's not one. He's not
He
one.
Absolutely is.
Great players
he's
give them,
alpha.
Their team a chance to win in those moments.
He did.
Not in that moment. He didn't. He cost them the game in that moment.
That was the play call. Did,
and
was
he
it
didn't
good that he turned it over? No, but
he didn't execute
there's
it.
Plenty of players in this league that turn it over. Steph Curry called a timeout when they didn't have a timeout a week ago.
I get that, but how many game-winning shots have we seen Steph make? How many miraculous flurries at the end of games has Steph Curry done to get him into? I don't see that with Nikola Jokic. I don't see
what
him in
you
the
saw last,
last
night was not a miraculous.
In the last 2 minutes of games, I don't see Nikola Jokic stepping up to the big time.
He did in the last
when
two
the
minutes.
Chips
they
get
were down by like 7 and 8.
When the chips get down, he's on the bench pleading, "Can I have some more, please?"
Oh my
sir?
Gosh, you're so. It's just I don't understand you. I don't get it. He's on the bench pleading.
You saw it last night, the clip coming out of it, yelling at his teammates saying, there's two guys out there. There's two guys. Yeah. Okay. Do something about it. Step over inside and help.
Booker's shooting 80%. Like, he's that is unreal. That's unheard of. That's not going to happen every single night.
We saw that. We said that about the Warriors when they got on their streak, too. That's what I'm terrified of. Because you had a chance last night to end this series. You win that game last night, you end this series. And Nikola Jokic, when the lights were the brightest, couldn't end the series.
I just disagree with you on the whole Nikola Jokic isn't a dog thing. And yeah, the end of the game was not good. It wasn't, but he had 53 points. The whole broadcast talked about Durant and Booker going back and forth with all these points. Joker's outscoring both of them.
I get that. Yet, he's a great player. Don't get me wrong. He is a great player.
No, but you're saying he's the greatest player in the NBA right now, but he's not a dog.
If we want to say that about him, he's got to be able to step up in those elite moments, those difference-making moments.
Texter from 720, Tanner, you lost.
That's fine. I know I'm on this by myself, but this is what I'm really worried about is this series is going to come back to Denver, and the Suns are all saying, well, we just took the Joker's best shot. We just took his best shot.
That's actually not his best shot.
He can't play any better than this.
But this team isn't just Joker.
Yeah, that's not how it's designed.
But it was last night.
Because nobody else was going with him, although Jamal did have 28 points.
This team. Like, when you have no one else going, you've got to be the guy that gets up and does it.
That's what he did.
He didn't do it because they lost still.
53. Like, what?
They still lost.
What moves or things that Jokic needs to do to hit your checklist?
He needs to win the game.
But 22 points, 4 seconds left. Game one and game two.
So if he does everything on your checklist, takes the contested 3-point shot at the end, whatever, and they lose on that shot, but he still has all the points, he still has everything else you did, but they lost. Is that a winning play?
If he misses the shot, is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Yeah, that's still a winning play.
He misses a 3-pointer? I'm going, I want KCP, I want Michael Porter Jr., I want Jamal Murray shooting that three.
The fact that we have to say that we don't want the ball in the hands of our best
because
player.
We understand he's not that player. He is not the 3-point sharpshooter.
Where does that all originate from? Doesn't that originate from Jokic's passing when he's down and drawing a double? He didn't even draw a double. They didn't even do any of that.
That's not his fault. That's the defense for doing that. That's an adjustment by Phoenix.
Okay.
It's the defense's choice not to double team him.
No.
That is a defensive choice. The Jokic doesn't say, no, I want you guys to double team me here.
Yeah.
If he gets in the paint with 22.4 left.
Does he say, hey, Ayton, bring your friend over real quick?
They're going to double him. If he gets down there, they're going to double him.
And then you want him to take the shot with a double team.
Why would they double him when they're up by three? Go ahead, Joker, take two. We'll go to the free throw. I wouldn't double him.
Why was Aaron Gordon diving off of Kevin Durant to guard Devin Booker, double Devin Booker?
I don't know, but we're talking about you're down three. You would be an idiot. Monty Williams would be an idiot if he says, we're doubling Joker down low.
For
no, I want Joker to go for two. Good, we're up by one. I got two guys that can't miss. Actually, I got the entire team that can't miss. We'll take our chances at the free throw line.
Who on the Nuggets team, because we're just saying that about Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, right? They're not going to miss free throws in those clutch moments. Who on the Nuggets team can you say that about and say, no matter what the pressure is, they're going to step to the line and knock down two?
Free throws?
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Is there because that's what I'm talking about. That dog factor, that X factor is that you know Devin Booker's pretty
good. So the mistakes and miscues of his teammates take away from him?
You're saying
who
if Jamal misses,
for some reason we're doing a
misses
Nuggets
free
throw scenario
here. That's on Jokic because he didn't.
No, I'm just saying you said Devin Booker, Kevin Durant aren't missing.
Right.
That's because they got that dog. You know they're not gonna miss.
I've never seen Devin Booker play like this.
Who on the Nuggets team, with the game on the line, got to make two. Who's going to line?
Nikola Jokic or Jamal Murray? They're both really efficient.
Jamal
from the free throw
Murray
line.
Had a technical foul free throw attempt that he clanked off the back.
But that's different than a 2-minute clutch. You have to make this free throw. That's different than just, hey, line up on the line by yourself and shoot the ball.
Both of their free throw percentages are really good.
I know. So, but yeah. Tell me, okay. Let's take the phantom out of it.
You're asking me who I would put.
Let's
put both of those guys in the free throw.
Take the phantom out of it. If you got to pick between those four, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker.
To hit a free throw?
Jamal Murray. Yeah.
Kevin Durant.
To win a game at the free throw line.
To hit a free throw line.
To win a game at the free throw line.
Kevin Durant,
right?
Sure. To hit a free throw.
To hit a shot to win the game. Out of those four, who are you picking?
Where are we shooting the ball from?
It doesn't matter. You pick it.
Joker inside the paint, dunk, easy. There we go. Game over.
I thought you just said he couldn't go down there, though, right?
No. I just asked.
That's
you.
If
you're changing the scenario,
you're putting hypotheticals on top of hypotheticals.
Yes, you just said a shot to win the game, and I said, where are we shooting from? And you said it doesn't matter. Okay, I want Joker in the paint.
So
game over.
22.4 seconds left. If that's a two-point game, do you think that's different?
If it's a two-point game, get Joker in the paint, tie the game, yes.
You still would have more faith in him to deliver in that clutch moment.
In the paint? Kevin Durant.
No, just in the clutch moment.
Yes,
you can,
in
anywhere.
The paint. Yep.
No. Give me Kevin Durant.
See,
Kevin Durant's going to knock that down.
You're changing it. You're saying it's a game-winning moment, but it depends on where you're shooting from.
Right. Whatever.
When we know that players are good in different spots.
Say that down one, you can pick from those four to make a shot for you. Who are you going with?
In the paint,
down
I'm
one.
going with Nikola Jokic.
He's got to get there. It's not like he's starting in the paint. Down one, you got to make a bucket to go win the game. Out of those four, who are you picking? Because Nikola Jokic is probably third on that list for me. It's Kevin Durant, then it's Devin Booker, and then it's Nikola Jokic. Down one.
What kind of shot are they taking?
It doesn't matter. You got to.
It does matter.
I just said
they're
down one.
If he's wide open or he's contested, that's a difference.
That is not. Down one. Got to pick one of those to get four to make a bucket. They got to get to their spot. They got to do all that.
Joker.
Oh, no. He's third on that list. Kevin Durant and Devin Booker.
Getting to their spot.
Get to wherever they need to make.
Booker's best shot is right around that free throw line. Kevin Durant probably off
anywhere,
to the sides of
anywhere.
That free throw line. Joker in the paint.
If he can get there in time, yeah.
Well, now you're saying
said,
if. You're adding
said,
an if to it.
If they're in if, their spot. You said
no,
that.
No, I said they have to get to their spot. So 22.4 seconds, down one.
Yeah.
Those four, who you're taking the Joker.
Even conventional wisdom would tell you the high percentage shot, whoever the big man
but
you is.
You've
got to
get the ball
Ayton,
down into him still. 22.4 seconds, you got to get the ball down into
so
him.
Now it's on my teammates to get the ball in. It's not on
correct.
Me. I have no choice. I have to be in my
the
spot either way.
The scenario you're painting is they are in their spot.
No. That's not. No, I said they've got to still get to their spot.
Okay. Joker.
Yes. 22.4. So that means you're taking the ball out of his hand to make sure he can get down to his spot. Then you got to have a good entry pass.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. His style of play doesn't lend for him to be the biggest in those winning moments.
Tanner is
so
fishing.
So you're saying, you just said it. It's impossible for him to get to that status,
then he'll
but
never
you're
be
never going to give it
then
to
he
him.
He will never be a dog.
You have a very bizarre system for your dogness here. I just don't get it. Tanner is fishing and wants attention, so he's throwing out a ridiculous take. You guys are biting and giving him what he wants.
It's
he isn't
ridiculous.
Going to change his mind, so probably should stop trying. Probably should.
It's not ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Because
to
the
say
best
Nikola
player,
Jokic isn't a dog is ridiculous.
It's not ridiculous because dogs win that game. He's done it. He did it for 38 minutes and then couldn't do it in the last couple. Dogs win those games and
game
win
two.
The series.
He won game two.
That was a 10-point game, though. That wasn't a tight game. I'm saying
we give you something, and it's just another if this. If
he
did that. Well, that was that.
He won a 10-point game.
Does he have
30-point game.
Does he have games where he's the most dominant player in the entire world? 100% he does. Was game number two one of those games? Yeah, it was.
Mm.
But it never came down to, hey, right now in the biggest moment, you got to make a play. It never came down to that.
It was a series of big moments, and actually there were big moments in that 10-point game of Game 2. It was a tight game. They were down by 8 at one point.
Game on the line right here.
The game was on the line. You're just you're just married to the last 2 seconds of a game for some reason.
That's when the biggest players shine through.
What about when they win by 30? They can't win by 30 to be a dog? They can't win by 10 to be a dog?
No, not to get that X factor.
What if the Nuggets win every game? By 30, the next two games. What if they win by 30? Joker's not a dog?
Well, it's going to be dependent on how the game goes. Because normally in a 30-point win, you've got everybody else firing on the same cylinders as well. Dogs are when nobody else is firing with you, and you still find a way to carry that team to a win.
29 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Tanner Schwint, I don't know. I don't know, man. There might be no help for you. Really not. But the Rockies. There
six
you go.
Out of the last seven,
there you
baby.
Go. There's some dogs over there,
nope,
man.
Nope,
they're
no
barking
dogs.
A lot. Nobody's here to hear it.
No dogs on the Rockies.
It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll take a quick break.
We're giving Coach Speak a whole new meaning. Hear Coach Speak weekdays 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Nuggets fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Now in the street there's violence, and in a lot of trouble, what you
32 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. One of my great friends, Weston, is joining us. Weston Edmonds with World Food Bank. We also have Richard Byrne joining us in studio. Guys, Weston, first off, how you doing, man? It's been about a week or so since the Avs were eliminated from the playoffs.
Yeah, I can't. It's one of those things where it's just hard to watch hockey right now.
Yeah.
Especially since the team that eliminated them just won 7-2 last night.
Oh, my goodness.
It's like, But
does it make you feel any better, though, to see that, okay, this Kraken team's the real deal?
Right. I going into the series, the depth that they talked about with Seattle, where they're just talking like you're not going to know a lot of the names of these guys.
Yeah.
But they've got depth first to fourth line, and we're like limping into the playoffs. So you always kind of hate that, too, to hear the other side say, oh, if we would have had this person and this person, like we're dealing with injuries. But injuries were a big factor. It was an exciting series. I mean, I have to say there were times I had to turn down the volume on the TV and just be like, I'm going to watch the game.
Yep.
I can't take the excitement towards the other team. But, I mean, it's a good time to be alive as a Colorado sports fan, though.
It is.
I mean, for almost all the sports. You get what's coming up with the Broncos. You see what's happened with the Nuggets and the Avs.
And the Rockies, right? Richard Byrne, you are not a big sports guy, is that right? But you are kind of a March Madness guy here.
Well,
March Madness stud, perhaps.
I just got into it this year and was drug into March Madness. And I just went ahead and went with some popular people who were picking their picks and followed along. And actually, the group that I was in was fourth place. So not too bad for my first year.
It's not bad at all. And it was a strange March Madness. But Richard, talk to our listeners a little bit. Give us your background and your involvement with World Food Bank.
Well, I'm a letter carrier here in Greeley. Okay. I work out of the main office, and I've been a letter carrier for 25 years. And ever since I started, we have started with the Stamp Out Hunger Food Drive. Mm. And we work with World Food Bank on that, and it's a joint effort. It began back in 1991 when we had approximately 10 stations or 10 branches across the country. And we're a part of the National Association of Letter Carriers, and we co-op with this with the Postal Service and several other organizations, including World Food Bank, across the country. But in 1991, 10 locations across the country were picked to see what needed to happen. And it was in October of that year, and it was very successful. But it was determined after talking to local food banks that October wasn't a good time of year because they do get a lot of food drives and donations in November and December. So with input, they decided to do it in late spring. And that's when the second Saturday in May was initiated and kicked off in 1993. So this is our 31st,
wow.
31st food drive that we do, and it's the largest food drive in the nation. And in 2010, we reached over 1 billion pounds of food collected.
That's insane. That's amazing.
It is.
Unbelievable.
So, I mean, this Saturday, we're doing the food drive, and World Food Bank's helping us, and we're putting out signs this week. So if you do have opportunity, you'll get a postcard in the mail, in your mailbox, and you'll get a blue bag that you can fill full of food and just put it by your mailbox, and your letter carrier will pick it up.
Wow. That's such a phenomenal – it's very convenient for people, too.
It is.
Weston, talk to us a little bit about Stamp Out Hunger, the food drive. Of course, it's coming up with May 13th. We're right around the corner for that. So talk to us about what that means to you guys, of course, to have this event going on in the spring.
Oh, absolutely. The Stamp Out Hunger is actually our largest food drive that brings in the most poundage compared to the ones we do throughout other times of the year. And that includes the holidays.
Wow.
So that's pretty impressive, partly because it's the easiest food drive you can take part in.
Yeah.
You don't even have to leave your home. I mean, we assume that you'll go to the grocery store. When you get that postcard and you get the bag, like, we do always understand that maybe you have some stuff that you're like, oh, I bought an extra one of this, an extra one of that. But the postcard in the bag is really to initiate that when you're at the grocery store to grab a couple extra items to fill that bag to put it by your postbox. But we do get some amazing food from this that is at a very crucial time. We're at the point where I have to look at numbers every month just to see where we're at. And I'm at the point where I'm saying at the beginning of every month, last month was the worst we've ever seen. It's been the busiest. We've seen the most people. There's so much more need. Every month, I feel like I'm now saying that about – I said that in March about February. I said that in April about March. And now I'm going to be saying that about April, that we're almost looking at between our emergency food boxes, our senior programs, and our mobile programs, we've nearly doubled the amount of people we've been serving compared to February of last year. That was kind of the jumping point where really inflation started to hit more of the headlines.
Sure.
And hit more of our pocketbooks. We started seeing it in our electric bills. We started seeing it in our food, our grocery bills, our gas bills. Everything was just going up. So we started taking a look at it, and it really is impacting a lot of people. So what's so important about this is this food helps our nonprofit agency partners. It comes to the food bank. We sort it. We get it into like-item boxes. So when the agencies come in, they can see a banana box full of green beans, and they can take that. That's going to be helping people throughout Weld County. So when you're giving to your community, you're not only helping people in Johnstown or Greeley or Evans or in South County, you're helping people there, but also around the community. So,
so let's set it up for the listeners right now. They're tuning in. Maybe they've never heard of this before. Maybe they're living under a rock or whatever. What are their steps? Let's just take them right to it. How can they help, Richard?
They can use any bag. All they have to do is on Saturday, May 13th, this coming Saturday, if they can, put it out first thing in the morning, because letter carriers have different routes and as far as what time they get to people's house. So they know what time they normally get their mail, roughly. But first thing in the morning, if they could put out some non-perishable items, canned goods, boxes, anything that's not going to go bad right away, and we can collect that. They can put it in any kind of bag they have, and it will be collected throughout the day when the letter carrier comes by. And then we have drop site locations. Also, we have two drop site locations that the Weld Food Bank is setting up and helping us with. One is Day Spring out of 35th Avenue. So anybody could just stop by there. If they're at King Supers picking up some groceries and they want to swing by there between 11 and 3, they could drop them off directly to the food bank. There's going to be a truck there. And then also on Emmanuel Lutheran on 14th Avenue, 1865 14th Avenue, we're going to have another offsite there from 11 to 3.
Okay.
But they could just leave it by their mailbox and we'll pick it up and take it. And I've even had customers who we take it before and we take it after because they forget. They haven't checked their mail in a few days. Then they find that bag. They can still leave it out next week, and we'll take care of it. But I've had customers who have approached me on the street and said, I forgot about it.
Hmm.
Will you take a check? Yes, we will. They can just make it out to Weld Food Bank. No amount is too small, be it cash or a check or even food. I've had people apologize for only putting 3 canned goods in there. We understand what's going on right now, and people are hurting. So, but anything is appreciated.
Well, and I think that's what's phenomenal. Every year, Weston, when we talk, you know, people will say, I can't get to the grocery store right now or whatever. I forgot about it. Can I just write checks? And you're always like, yeah, that'll work too.
Oh, absolutely. The money can go very far. $1 can feed a person for a day. So that's pretty incredible impact with our buying power, even though we are being impacted. And that's, again, why this food drive is so important. We are also being impacted by the availability of food. Maybe not as bad as some of the retail partners, but there's times where we're paying twice, if not triple, of what we used to pay to try to bring product in. So this food is very much needed. With the increase in need and the decrease in availability, Stamp Out Hunger is coming at probably one of the most important times. As we enter summer, kids are on break from school. They don't have access to those school meals. Their families are having to provide more meals for their kids. And so I anticipate there's going to be even more of a need come here in June and July when families are really starting to struggle. So, again, this is just – I love that it was in October and that you guys realized the food banks were able to have a voice in that, because really late spring is a very, very important time for us.
Well, and it's good as you talk about spreading that out too, because the holidays, you do see that kind of a rush where people are getting out and donating. They're in that mode as you're in October, November, December. So having it in the month of May has to be very impactful.
It is. I mean, I was just at the food bank a few weeks ago meeting, trying to get the final touches on everything. And you can see the crunch. You can see the need out there. And I mean, that's what's great about being a part of your community. Your letter carrier is a part of the community. They know who their residents are, who the neighbors are, and they take ownership just as the community does. And so, you know, we know who is out there hurting and needs assistance, and we can always, you know, have them direct them to the Weld Food Bank. But having that input from the food banks back in 91 and when it kicked off in 93, it was good to say, when do we need this? Because you do have items that will are perishable. And why have stuff get wasted when, you know, we need to have it for the community and for those in need?
Weston, is there a place, can they go to your website, too, where they can learn more about the details of everything? Because I think there's just so many interesting notes about, you said it, a dollar will feed how many folks?
Well, it'll provide three meals a day. So you kind of think that a dollar can feed a person for a day.
And it's amazing how you guys are able to stretch that out. But where can people go to learn more about Weld Food Bank and, of course, learn about this event coming up this weekend?
Right. They can go to weldfoodbank.org. And the best place I'd direct folks to, if they're looking for most needed food items, you can go. We have a tab just on the very front page says, I want to help. You click there. Gives you the option if you want to help with food, if you want to help with time or money. You click on that food button. It'll take you to our website that has a list of our most requested food items from our agencies. And oftentimes it's tuna and peanut butter and canned vegetables, canned like the hearty stews, anything that has a pop-top lid, because we do work with kids that, you know, might get that food and have it something that they could easily open. So there is a list of that there. But I actually like to tell people that buy the food that you like to eat, because somebody who's struggling with hunger probably likes to eat that too. Although I was talking to one of your producers, and he said he just had a grilled cheese and peanut butter sandwich.
Yeah, maybe not what Micah buys.
So maybe it's, not what Micah buys, but within reason.
Yeah. okay, guys, what else do we need to get out there while we have you in the studio, Richard?
Well, the biggest thing is, you know, don't let this just be one day. You know, when you can give, continue to give. I know as a postal employee, we can give to the Weld Food Bank out of our CFC contributions. So think about that. If you have an employer where you can give through a combined federal campaign, or through your employer you can give to a nonprofit organization, why not give all year long?
Yeah.
Give to the Weld Food Bank. Or, you know, that way people, you can help people out as needed. But this food drive, we collected just over 43,000 pounds last year in one day.
Wow.
In the northern Colorado area. And that's just us here in northern Colorado. But it's just incredible. But it just takes a few people to do a lot of work. And our letter carriers, we separate the food. We're there till late in the evening. We get it over to the Weld Food Bank. They're still sorting it. But we're just asking for your help to help us out so we can help out the community.
Absolutely love it. Weston, what else? What do we miss?
We didn't miss anything. I always love the Monday after the postal carrier food drive, because I'll walk into the warehouse and it's just rows and rows of bins full of blue bags. And it just is an ongoing and wonderful reminder of how generous our community is, that we really do take care of our own. And I'm sure most people who've grown up in the towns and still live in the towns they were born in would say that. But I genuinely feel like we have a very unique community here that is very caring, is very generous, and they're always willing to jump in. And just what's so great about this is this brings about the most awareness that postal carriers are at basically everyone's house. They're touching almost every person in Weld County, and they're getting that postcard out. So even if somebody can't give, it's bringing the awareness. And like Richard said, if you can't give now, when you can, do consider helping us.
I had a customer on my route, and I'm sure she still lives there, but she would put out at least 7 to 10 bags every year. And I would have to make 2 or 3 trips to get to my truck just from her porch. So, you know, nothing's too small, but give when you can give.
Appreciate your work that goes into this. Like you said, I mean, there's a lot of work that goes into all of this, and it is a great event. Let's make it bigger than last year.
I hope so.
Let's go for it. Weston, Richard, thank you guys so much for being in studio today.
Thanks,
Brady.
All right, let's go Nuggets, right? Nuggets will take
it. Sure, yeah, go Nuggets.
Let's go. All right, 11:46 the time. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. First Advantage text lines 888-530-0043. The Tight-Knit Brewing poll question of the day. We're going to be at Tight-Knit Brewing tomorrow. Bruce Dick will be out there with the NoCo Owls manager, Frank Gonzalez. We're going to be out there at 5 o'clock. You guys should pop by, say hello. We'll talk. We'll get ready for the Nuggets game out there. That's going to be a big one. So we'll talk a little Nuggets, I'm sure. Frank's an overall sports guy. The poll question of the day, Nuggets winning the series. It's just a basic question. Are they still winning this series? How do we feel? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. We'll talk more about that on the other side. I got to get into, what's his name? Matt Ishiba, the owner of the Suns. I didn't even know what he looked like until last night. He did tweet out that he didn't think Joker should be suspended. But he didn't do something in the tweet, and I have an issue with that. So we'll talk about it on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Baseball in Colorado is electric. Hear it all on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jenny Kavner from AT&T Sports Net, your host for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to the whole show on KFKA. Fire up the fountain.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. There was controversy, not just the loss in this game, but between Nikola Jokic and Suns' relatively new owner, Matt Ishiba. Joker, okay, Matt Ishiba gets the... Who was it that fell out of bounds? Who went out of bounds? It was a Suns player.
Iggy Boa or whoever.
Whatever.
I don't care.
He's out of bounds. He fell... Matt Ishiba's just standing there with the ball underneath his arm, holding it tightly. 99% of the time, teams want to quickly get the ball inbounds after a make or a miss. They just want to get going. And Joker runs over because the dude's holding the ball. You're not supposed to hold the ball. He's got it, like, planted underneath his arm. Joker runs to go get the ball from him. Matt Ishiba does put a hand on Joker's waist. Joker eventually shoves Matt, and then Matt flops to the ground, falls down. It was whatever.
He just put his arm up and kind of just blocking him because there was like four fans trying to get to Jokic.
One guy like went at his arm, at Joker's arm. That guy was ejected.
Several people were touching him.
But they gave Joker a technical foul. That was it in the game. I don't 100% disagree with the technical foul. I don't. Joker touched. He ran in at a fan. Whoever it is, he ran. But the guy's not supposed to hold the ball. And damn sure if you're the owner of a basketball team, you're cheating in some ways.
Well, I think most fans, if you're sitting courtside, you should be aware that I'm sitting courtside at a sporting event with flying objects and big giant men running around everywhere. There's a chance you're going to be involved in the action some way. If the ball comes to you, catch it, protect yourself. Give it back immediately.
And so somebody just tweeted at me and said, why is Joker touching the fan in the first place? Just leave it alone. Let them inbound the ball. You're looking at it going, I can take advantage of a 5-on-4 situation. Mm-hmm. Their player's in the stands right now. I get the ball, get to the ref, and then I throw it in, and we go 5-on-4.
I think most situations a fan would have the ball and just kind of holding it, and they see a player coming up to him, and they would just reach out. The difference is this guy didn't even just like catch it by surprise. Caught it and was holding it.
He
in
was
his
holding
arm.
It. He wasn't giving it up. He wasn't.
There was
looking
no inclination towards it. He was looking at the player that was just fell on his lap,
and he was holding the ball tightly, so it wasn't going anywhere. Let's talk more about that. He did tweet something out today. We'll get your thoughts on that as well. Lunch Rush coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.